Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles, everybody. We are once again invited to actually, sounds like too much that you could possibly accomplish in A Course in Miracles meeting or in any page of the book, but there are many pages and many passages where it's like the cards are laid down in a card game. And you do the math, you know, you decide where you
decide where you
where you are.
Where you are.
So this is a place, A Course in Miracles, where Jesus is sort of putting into very few sentences, like it's like cards in a card game and the cards are down, or it's like Jesus looking you in the eye and saying, are you willing to remain with the limits that you've chosen? Have you become so comfortable to being body, time, space? Have you become so in love with being in a body and getting the promises that the ego has offered? Are you so addicted to this limited existence that it has become what you want? This is a huge question. It's asked. Jesus already knows the answer because he knows. What he's trying to do is get you to know the choice that you've already made. Yes, you would like to be happy. Yes, you would like to be powerful. Yes, you would like a world where you have no enemies. Yes, you would like to have a world where everybody recognizes how loving you are, or at least how loving you want to be. And even if you misbehaved, you would like a world that would translate that and say, oh, no, I know what you really meant. You're just feeling hurt. Here, here, let me give you a hug, and let's go on our merry way and be happy. Yes, you would like that. Jesus knows that. However, this is not what you've actually chosen. And that really is the hard part of what we have to do tonight. Is for you to somehow recognize it is not love that is in the way. It is not love that is withheld from you. It is not happiness that is withheld from you. It is not any other moment than this current one that is the door to your freedom. There is some kind of resistance going on, sure. A difficulty, you might say. And you'd say, well, if I only knew exactly what to say or what to do, I would do it. Fair? I mean, everybody here is, you know, hanging in with this huge book and spent years already of your life in one way or the other saying, I want to be free and I mean to be free. And if there's love, I will find it. And yet, you must continue to persist. You have not found yourself perfectly free. But you did find a book that says, you can be. Well, it's A Course in Miracles, and we've come to a sentence or two in the book where it really puts it right out, right in front of you, in black and white. And it's these kind of sentences where if you just get really, really simple, you can have a breakthrough. It would not only last the rest of your lifetime, but the rest of your being. See? Your being. There is a bigger picture than just your body going on here. It's not our focus. It is certainly a good result, but it's not our focus. So, tonight, we're going to read these sentences, and The bottom line is, it's a matter of you being honest with yourself. Because love is not withheld from you. God is love. I think you already agree with that. You are from God 100%. It's not like God took
Baby, could something I have done messed up a Zoom? I'm on it, but I can't hear anything. They can hear me, but I can't hear them.
Okay, I'm just going to mute her. So, this honesty is kind of sobering. Because love is everywhere. I think you know that too, if I were to ask you. Is love all-encompassing? You would say, well, Andrew, it says that right in the first page of the book. Duh. Love is all-encompassing. And then, like I asked who are the guys that show up to your door in suits and they want to give you the pamphlets, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, something like that? Like I say to them, I say, well, is God all-powerful? They say, well, yes, Andrew. God is all, look, I'll even show you page this and that and Corinthians this and God is all powerful. I think you would actually agree with that. If you just spend a moment and decide, is there any power that is beyond God? Whatever God is. We don't ever have to define God. That's so not important where we are now. No, you have to define and limit God in any way. But whatever God is, it's got all power. Yeah, bottom line, God is loving, God is love, and all powerful. And you are 100% of that, from that. It is your source. Whatever you actually are, the part of you that is spirit, the part of you that is actually alive, not the part that's pretending to image, but the part that's alive, the spirit of you is of God, 100%. The part that matters, the part that counts, you. So if God is love and God is all powerful and you are of God, there's no other source. Wait, check in for a moment, will you? Is there another source? Is there some other power? That is working to create things? Or is there one unfolding power? If you've never asked that question and got a satisfactory answer, please write, make a note to yourself and make a meditation on a few times a week at least. You would simply ask this question and wait to feel the answer or to be, if it depends on how your Holy Spirit works with you. You can be
on the bottom left.
You can be counseled and you can be coached on the answers. But sometimes for some of us, it's just a feeling. But it's a powerful, overwhelming feeling that guides you to understand, not even words. And the question is there another power?
That's a mute.
Is there another power that does things, that creates?
I turn it off and it automatically goes back on to mute.
Hold on, I'll send her I keep muting her, and so I'm going to tell her. I am muting you.
Oh, arrow up, yes. Go up.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, so that's very important.
Is there another power that
creates? There is a power that makes things up that aren't real. But all of those things disappear when you go still. See? Very important. They just disappear. However, there are things that do not disappear no matter what you do. I'm speaking of the truth. All that you want.
Goes back to unmute all by itself.
Okay, I'm going to mute her again. I'm glad I have this control. Confusing her a bit, but now. So it's very important, this one power thing. You see, if there is a, and you really have to get honest, it's not enough just for me to tell you this or for you to read this, that there's one power. It isn't good enough, see, because you're living in duality. You're living like there are two powers. You're living under a power that's not fully, perfectly loving. You see? So you really have to answer this question.
Can I hear myself? No.
Got her again. You really have to answer, you know what? No, I'll just keep doing it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to nominate Tim. Tim, I'm going to give you power to mute Luann.
It says unmute on the page where the...
And there you go. If you would just kind of tend to her noise, that would be great.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, okay. Jacqueline.
Okay. Hello. Can I hear myself? No, I can't.
Got it.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, Jacqueline.
Well, it's just interesting that you're talking about this because today, or maybe it was last night, I just had this thought. Well, is God the only power that exists? Is there some power beyond God? I mean, it really occurred to me. It was an unsettling thought because, you know, I don't know. Just because.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there is another power besides God. So that's just, it just came up for me, and I'm not going to do, I don't know what to do with it, I guess, but it just was.
Excellent.
It felt
honest.
Unsettling.
Oh my God, I love it. So honest. It's honest because you're witnessing two powers. You would be lying if you say, oh, I am totally witnessing one power. Unless you have actually reached a state of, you know, samadhi, nirvana, pure understanding, then you're actually involved in a power of separation and living that way. It's not impossible, I'm saying, for you to be completely awake and having a lucid dream and so forth. But I haven't met anybody yet, including Adi Ashanti and all these other people who actually are that clear. Yes, Jacqueline.
Well, and I thought, that must be the ego, you know, trying to throw a monkey wrench in the works for me is what I thought, right? To give me doubt of some kind of unsettling doubt.
You bet. Never underestimate the ego to try to prove to you that there is competition for love. And that you can lose something. Never underestimate the ability for the ego to make you feel loss. However, equally, and I mean equally mathematically, equally is the power of the Holy Spirit to take the same thought, that particular thought. I'm so happy that you shared that. That same thought that maybe there actually is two powers, kind of a black and a white, a yin and a yang, and they work together, and that balances everything. Right? What's wrong with that? It's exactly what we're witnessing. In fact, there's whole spiritual dogmas that are built up around, black and white. Two powers. There are. So it's wonderfully honest because it's what you're living. See? Jacqueline, I'm celebrating because it means you've taken a step closer to realization. So I have no problem with this question at all.
Well, and also it's not so much I'm thinking of black and white. I'm just thinking.
Thank you very much.
Maybe there's a power, you know, as great or as God. I mean, even beyond. Does that make any sense? Maybe something created God. Just that
sure. Way before the- Maybe something created God, and God is working on enlightenment too. That's just fine. You don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that. Because when we get right down to the instructions in a course of what is God, this is a short sentence, so I'll try to say it slowly. God is,
can you hear me?
And then we cease to speak.
Are you talking to me?
So it's kind of
Are you
a...
talking to me?
I'm going to mute and land myself. And so, okay, good. So this is a... This is what we call in the spiritual game an absolute question. A question of absoluteness or unconditional nature.
Okay.
So if, Jacqueline, you're in your honesty, and by God, please continue, open up the dialogue with yourself and say, all right, let's look for the two powers. Let's see how this plays out. Maybe there is. Please. It is a awakening opportunity, a step toward realization, because it's so wonderfully honest. We're all living it. You're asking it. I think you've closed to one, and you've opened back up to two. Please continue. You're very safe with this. You will not regress somehow into dualism. The truth is true, and nothing else is true.
Andrew.
Your Holy Spirit will definitely carry you to the truth of your question. You see, the ego would use it if you did not have a guide. The ego would use it to bring duality and have competition and have good and evil and bring back the idea of sin, the unforgivable mistake, etc., etc., etc. The ego would do that. But you have, everybody, including you, Jacqueline, you have touched this amazing limitless light, if even for a moment. Everybody here has. Everybody here I'm looking at on the screen has touched a holy instant where you had peace beyond understanding and thought, I don't know how far this goes, but man, it's powerful. I feel free for this moment. Everybody's had that. Goodness and God is. It comes when you disarm your ego for a moment. It comes when you disable your ego for a moment. An instant, the Course in Miracles calls it. The holy instant. This is your guide that will take you all the way back to heaven. Now, a question like Jacqueline has beautifully. Well, maybe... In fact, I'm going to add, so Jacqueline has a question about God's coming into being, and that God might also be pondering, hey, how did I get here? That's a pretty fair question. I just want to say that there is a level of mind that did assemble the universe. There is a level of mind that did come up with the idea of up and down. There is a level of mind that came up with the idea of life and death, of existence and non-existence. There is a level of mind that did that. And it becomes a great confusion to think that that level is God. It's honest, but you simply don't stop there. You will cross it. It's on your journey. It's on your path. But it's so great to honestly look at it, embrace it, and then transcend it. It's just another step in the path. But do it honestly. And that's why this beautiful, wonderful page in A Course in Miracles is available exactly halfway. Well, not exactly. It's actually a little over a third of the way through the book. It asks one of these major existential questions that might evoke deep questions like this, so that you can actually start to look and be honest with, what am I witnessing? Am I willing to take everything that I can swear to be true and know that it is a dream, a fantasy? Is that even possible? Several places in the book, it says, you really have to come to this realization of words like eternity, or like love with a capital L. Here's how it says it in the workbook, that gives, comma, and only gives, period. You see, that's impossible to the ego, because you would run out. If you only gave, you would run out, according to the ego. It doesn't make any sense. You can give a lot until you're tired, or you run out, says the ego. But in the nature of creation, nature of reality, you are the extension of the only power there is. There is no actual limit. But you must own this because of what you are and your goal. Your true goal is the return to your awareness as the extension of God, as a creator. But you're bringing with you, of course, this entire journey that you've gone on. But that's beyond our curriculum. Right now, you have to recognize, like a diver who dives very, very deep in the ocean. Do you know what? I don't think it's even beyond a couple hundred feet in the average ocean, that it gets darker and darker and darker. And eventually, it's so dark, when you dive deep enough, you cannot see up. You can't see the light. You're floating. You don't have a sense of gravity. You can't see up. You don't know which way is up. If you slow down, it feels like you're going up because you think, but then it's not. It gets a little. It's very difficult. This is where you actually are now in your consciousness. You have made an ocean and you've made a dive, and it's called ego and separation. It started out as individualization, but it turned into separation in your effort to master it. And it's like making a very deep dive in the ocean where you're so deep you can't see the daylight. This is where you are now. If you admit it, you're very lost. You've closed off your awareness of love. You've closed off your awareness of God. You've closed off your awareness of absolute happiness and freedom and creativity. However, the Course says that because of what you are, what has gone with you, something we call the Holy Spirit, what has gone with you is a guide that were you to simply stop focusing on separation for a moment, an instant, then in your mind arrives the Holy Spirit. You see, in your mind has been the unholy spirit, the ego spirit of separation is breaks things apart and looks at them individually. It made time so everything doesn't happen all at once. It made space so it doesn't all happen to you. And division and division and division. That's the unholy spirit. It's not a sin. It's not evil. It's very powerful. It's equally powerful as the Holy Spirit. But it simply does not include an awareness of what you are. That's all. The Holy Spirit is a constant awareness of what you are. Holy meaning oneness, W-H-O-L-E, whole. And so it has a different flavor to it. The deep diver who has gone so deep into their ocean, you so deep into your ego, needs a clue, needs a hint to be able to go back up to the surface where they can breathe freely. This is what we call the holy instant in A Course in Miracles. And for the diver, the divers are taught, hopefully you still have a battery left on your headlamp. You turn on your light and you watch the bubbles. Follow the bubbles. They will go up to the light, even though you will swear that's down because you've been going the other way thinking it was up. You get so disoriented. You have to now trust the bubbles, no matter what. They do not lie. Because of physics, the bubbles will find a lower pressure and they will go up. If you can see the bubbles, you have a way home, the divers are taught. And so you follow them, not too quickly, but you follow them. And as you follow them, even though you could swear it was the other way, you follow the bubbles, and then with a little trust and a little faith and a little doing your workbook lessons and a little bit of not following the ego's feeling of worthlessness or anger or guilt or fear or attack, or just eventually a little more light starts to show up around you. You still can't quite see up and down, but it just feels lighter. It looks lighter. And in fact, that's what happens also with your Course in Miracles work. You're just not as depressed. You're not as angry. You're not as lost as you do this coursework. And like following the bubbles, eventually the light gets lighter and lighter, and you can see the light. And there's no question which way you're going. You're not even looking at the bubbles anymore. This certainty comes in your heart now. And I'm calling it now a new emotion. You've had to remove the awareness of love. You've had to remove the awareness of love in order for you to execute and experience separation. It's not a sin, it's not evil, just what you were doing. It's really quite amazing. It's quite amazing, this whole separation thing. But you had to remove your awareness of love to get away with it, to experience it fully. And you did. The return to something that you otherwise couldn't lose, the return to it has a recognition, has a new emotion that you've never known before. Is this the purpose of your whole searching? Was this what it's all about? Who knows? But I'll tell you, in my experience, I've had others who seem to shake their head and grab their chin and say, yeah, it is like a new emotion. It's unlike anything the world can offer. This recognition of lightness, of love, I love the word enlightenment, because not only is it light to what you perceive, but it also feels lighter. Just feels lighter. And so also with for this diver who now is swimming up toward the light and feeling freedom as soon. I'm not going to run out of oxygen in my tank. I'm going to make it. I see the surface. I feel lighter. It looks lighter. Joy is returned. I don't feel hopeless. I don't feel lost. I feel good direction. And for the Buddhist, they have this, and it's in the Course in Miracles too, in many places, the Bodhisattva vow. It says, now that you see the surface coming again and you're so certain of your awakening, You slow down. You're not in such a hurry. You're not afraid. You're certain of your freedom. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's in the Course too. And it says, well, before I just escape, I want to make sure that all the rest of my brothers, all the rest of the parts of my mind that seems to have lost its way, also know the freedom I'm feeling right now. Did you know that? Wouldn't that be the maximum expression of love? For you not to selfishly take your own freedom until you knew that all others that you either imagined or real are free too? Hello? Isn't that the maximum love you could possibly experience? You who believe there are others? Wouldn't you need to know either they're safe as me, now that I have all this power to be free myself, or that they do not exist at all and nothing to worry about? Who cares which way you go about it? And so, it's a beautiful, beautiful concept of love, that it's the power of love that's just arresting that way, that will help clean up your awareness. The diver continues and goes all the way to the surface, gently breaks into the air, is floating once again, takes off the mask, and breathes the air. How easy it is to breathe, and how rich is that real oxygen, how free it is to simply float without trying. Now I'm breathing, now I'm home, now I'm where I belong. Once again on the surface where the air is just given freely and the sun is warm and I am free, not threatened in any way. The troubles are over, says the diver who trusted those bubbles so deep in the dark. And you are trusting your Holy Spirit. And A Course in Miracles is a form that's come into your life. These are your bubbles to follow, these workbook lessons, these amazing sentences like we're going to read tonight. It's a matter of trusting the bubbles that they do go up. They do go toward the light that you are, the light that you seek, the light that you want. That is an extension of the love that is. But like the diver that's so deep in the dark, doesn't know which way is up. There does come a few moments of pretty serious trust. Trust that is frightening. Because you had an opinion of what direction to go. And it's not agreeing with the way the bubbles are going. You're thinking, maybe the bubbles are being influenced by the current. And if I follow the bubbles that are going down because there's a sudden downwash of ocean, I'll run out of oxygen, I'll follow the bubbles down, and I'll die. Like a fool. Course in Miracles is training you about these bubbles. Course in Miracles is training you about choosing peace. Course in Miracles is training you about going still. Course in Miracles is training you on how to detect what the ego feels like and what spirit feels like. What duality feels like and what oneness feels like, what tending to time feels like and what eternity feels like. Course in Miracles is teaching you this, like that diver had to be taught and to understand that the bubbles go up. And when you need it, follow the bubbles. It's extremely simple. Just breathe, and then when the air comes out, the bubbles will go up. It takes some courage, but that's how the breakthrough comes through. Like I'm encouraging Jacqueline here. Jacqueline's been studying oneness and non-duality and spirituality for a long time. She has an honest question that has entered her mind I love it. It takes courage to entertain this question after all her training. But this is how you go through doors. You go right up to them. Good. Good. You're not comfortless. You have your Holy Spirit with you. And now it can talk and use things that you think might be to train you on the truth. So let's just take a moment before we go into these words. There's so many words, and I've said so many words. But each of you have been listening quietly. Those of you who weren't doing intense technical support, like Luann. And put yourself in that diver's suit, will you please? Where you've been swimming on purpose now. On purpose, you're not a victim here. You were swimming on purpose, deeper, deeper, deeper still. You wanted to see what kind of fish are down here. You wanted to see the fish with no eyes. They don't need eyes. It's so dark at the bottom of the ocean that the fish don't have eyes. They would be useless. And so maybe this is like you who have fashioned yourself a body to go into time and space, and you have closed your spiritual eye because it would be useless. In fact, having your spiritual eye aware of oneness really gets in the way of experiencing duality, separation. It gets in the way. You want to turn it off so you can really get the feel of individuation and separation. And so here you are, a diver who has purposefully dove deep into the ocean, deeper still, deeper, chasing to see what's down there, what could exist away from the light so deep in the ocean nobody else can see. I get to see a fish with no eyes. This is you leaving the safety and security of heaven, of oneness, of creating with the power that extends and expands, trying a power that divides and is special, 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 like seeing a fish with no eyes. And the only person you know who has ever dived this deep, put yourself in that wetsuit, put yourself down there. And now you get the sense it's so dark. You don't know which way is up. Back to the safety of the surface. You've lost it. You've lost it. You have the sound of your breath. You've lost interest in finding more fish with no eyes. It's just dark down here. And damn it, it's cold. I want to go home. Do you have that sense that you want to go home? Back to the awareness of light and love and eternity and power of creation. True sharing. True understanding. Do you want to go home where there is no loss? Do you want to re-enter the kingdom that is described in this book as a place that gives, comma, and only gives? And you would be involved in the giving. It is so dark down here, you diver, and cold, and you want to go home. rather than face this idea of isolation and loss. It's time now to follow your training. It's time now to turn on your headlight and take a breath. So you do, and you see nothing. You don't see bubbles going up. Uh-oh. But then you remember your training, and you look down. The bubbles are going down past your feet. As you breathe, the bubbles go down past your feet. Follow your training. It's time to trust. It's time to turn completely around and go that at first feels like fear because you thought it was down. But it is up, back to home and safety. It looks darker in that direction to you. The dark night of the soul, we call it here. You really thought you knew which way was up, and you've been swimming that way for a while, but it's not working. Now you followed your training, and it's the exact opposite way. Going to let go of what you were trusting and follow your training. Follow the bubbles. A little scary. Can you feel it? But there is this hope. You accepted your training. That there is a Holy Spirit that is part of the same mind that you're using. That these bubbles you were told in your diver's training, no matter what you believe, they always go up to the surface. You're entering the dark night of the soul as you abandon your fear, because your fear is useless. It's simply not true. You will return to hope. You gather strength by reversing your course away from the false path, and you gain strength as you follow the bubbles. Eventually, your whole mind turns around and your directions are straight again. And the rewards continue and continue and continue. As you gather strength and you notice the bubbles' movements and you can trust in them, and then you start to feel a little bit of light showing up. I'm not sure, but I think it's getting lighter. No, it is definitely getting lighter. Do you feel that? You're swimming with your swim fins. You're getting a little tired because it's been a while, but hope now has returned to your heart. Light has returned to your eyes. It's getting lighter and lighter as you swim. It's still work, but there's a trust born in you because the light is returning that now you know will never go away. You don't need the bubbles anymore, do you? They were kind of a crutch because you didn't know, but now you know. And as you swim, now you start to see the shimmering of the surface. Breathing is already easier. The pressure in your body is lighter. And indeed, you break free back into the air that is freely given on the surface, where you belong. Okay. When you're ready, turn yourself into your book and get yourself onto text page 463. 463 in the text. While you're getting there, I'm going to remind you what we've been working on for the last several weeks. These are these italics that say, ask four questions. The last one it calls the last unanswered question. The first question is, do I desire a world that I rule instead of one that rules me? You're like, well, I'm kind of sick of being a victim and being ruled by things out of my control. So yes, I would desire, if I got to live in a world, I'd like to have one where I'm in control. Good. Do I desire a world where I am powerful instead of helpless? Well, now that you mention it, yeah, I do feel kind of helpless at times. And then ultimately, if you look at the whole life and death thing, yeah, I can't even help people that I love sometimes. I just don't have the ability. I just watch them suffer and struggle. Yeah, I don't like being helpless. Yeah, I would like to have a world where I'm powerful. I would be good at it, you say. The answer is yes. Do I desire a world in which I have no enemies and cannot sin? I've never done anything wrong. I can't. This is a world where I always know the right thing to do, and people like it. I like it. It works out. In fact, I'm truly helpful. This works out all the time. I'm surrounded by people that I know how to help, and they love it, and I love it. I can't do any wrong because I really understand their hearts and their minds and their needs. And besides, I'm powerful. This is a good world. Yes, the answer number three is yes also. Okay, number four. And do I want to see what I denied? Hold it. Don't miss those first couple words. Do I want to see what I denied? Because what I denied is the truth. You see, the diver really believed he was already oriented toward up. He'd been working on swimming up for a while. And he denied that past his feet was up. And when he remembered his training, turned on his light and blew a few bubbles, and they went past his feet. He had to answer this unanswered question, and do I want to see what I denied because it's the truth? I have to go the other way, completely the other way. I want the truth. You want the truth. So, we have, you know, I think we have to reread entire paragraph five. Wendy, you there? Are you reading?
I'm right here.
Would you read for us on page 462, paragraph five, all the way through?
Sure. Yet hate must have a target. There can be no faith in sin without an enemy. Who that believes in sin would dare believe he has no enemy? Could he admit that no one made him powerless? Reason would surely bid him seek no longer what is there to find.
Whoops.
Oh.
It's a, Jesus is going to start to really get into the logic here, so we can't miss a word. Try that sentence again, Wendy. And start with four. You remember in the previous section, I know Wendy, you weren't there, but in our previous section we talked about reason. Remember? Reason and how important it. We spent a whole section on the word reason to try to get you to the idea that there is sanity that follows a loving kindness, a unity, power of eternity. And then there's separation that is competitive and petty and short term. It was reason will tell you that love is the unconditional one and powerful and loves to give and share, right? Reason will tell you this. Okay, go ahead, Wendy. Number four.
Could he admit that no one made him powerless?
Wow, that's a big question. You feel powerless, you feel put under, you feel maybe it's a sickness, or maybe it's money, or maybe it's some friends who have treated you poorly, or maybe you feel powerless. Could you possibly admit wow, I don't know, you need a miracle. Go ahead, Wendy.
Reason would surely bid him seek no longer what is not there to find.
Meaning that if you really are powerless, you're not going to search for some magical solution that doesn't exist. Give me more money so I can be wealthy, more good food so I can be healthy, and more education so I can be wise, and I'll save myself, says the ego. And our current state. Please continue.
Yet first he must be willing to perceive a world where it is not.
Wow, that would take a miracle. For reason to come save your butt, you would have to somehow open your mind to an existence the ego's teaching you this is a world, that this is your existence. But reason, to be able to reverse that, you'd have to see there's something beyond this world. Go ahead, Wendy.
It is not necessary that he understand how he can see it, nor should he try. For if he focuses on what he cannot understand, he will but emphasize his helplessness and let sin tell him that his enemy must be himself.
Okay, meaning that when you're following your own separate sensibilities, your ego, your separate self, it talks about separation. It talks about loss and death, and it struggles and strives to get enlightenment or to get happy, etc. It goes outward and tries to manage and manipulate the world to make things better out there. If that's what you're pursuing, you will continue to fail. Somehow you have to go not out or not up, but in. Somehow, right? This is crazy speak, right? Unless you're doing this spiritual game. You're not going to get better later. You're not going to get happy later. You're not going to get enlightened later. You're going to get enlightened now. Huh? Now, but I'm struggling here. Life's difficult for me. I can't get enlightened now. I have to, light the candles. I got to smoke this or eat that and listen to this. And then I'll get better eventually. And then I'll get enlightened. See? You would have to be willing to enter another dimension of the holy instant, which is now. Let me explain this again. The truth is not experienced in time. The truth is not in the future. Your enlightenment is not in the future. Mm-hmm. It can't be. It'll never come. It always comes, your enlightenment and these holy instances, they always come with the recognition that I need do nothing right now. And it's instantaneous awareness of completion. Always, always, always.
Nothing right now.
Every holy instant you had has been that way. It didn't happen because you did something and it unfolded. It's not how it happens. Okay, Wendy, continue.
But let him only ask himself these questions, which he must decide to have it done for him.
To have it done for him. Here's where It's so clever. We're actually painting the path that last question is the cliff, the edge that you would step off of. Go ahead, Wendy.
Do I desire a world I rule instead of one that rules me? Do I desire a world where I am powerful instead of helpless? Do I desire a world in which I have no enemies and cannot sin? And do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth?
Making truth the only important thing left. Not what you get from the truth, not what it looks like, not what it feels like, not what it sounds like, not because you get it. Just the truth. That you want it because it's the truth. Jacqueline, and everybody, keep your finger on this page. You're coming right back. I got your mute, Jacqueline. Everybody flip to workbook page 313. We're just going to pick up one paragraph there to remind us of how this continues on this subject all over the book. I'm just going to give you one or two maybe of these before we jump into tonight's challenging sentence. Okay, so it's a workbook page 313, paragraph 1.
Okay. The title is Let Not My Mind Deny the Thought of God. What makes this world seem real except your own denial of the truth that lies beyond? What but your thoughts of misery and death obscure the perfect happiness and the eternal life your Father wills for you? And what could hide what cannot be concealed except illusion? What could keep you from what you already have except your choice to see it not, denying it is there?
How many times, you know, Jesus could say this, but because how drunk we are on our path, it has to really be gentle, certain and consistent, but gentle. It's won me over. You know, I challenged this book when I first got it. I liked a lot of the words. It made me feel good. But I didn't know if I could trust it, you know, especially the source. I'm like, what? But it just continued to move me. And I trusted this book more and more. And I wanted to follow these bubbles wherever they go. To hell, I'm going. Where course goes, I'm going. And it's been quite rewarding for me in peace and freedom in my life. Albert, I'm going to get your mute. Would you head off, or you have, maybe you have to get your mute. Yeah, you have to get your mute, and would you head off and take everybody to page 218 in the text? 218 in the text, way up in chapter 12, little section called The Way to Remember God. What else are we working on than remembering what is? Remembering the truth. Remembering God. Just paragraph 1, Albert.
Miracles are really the translation of denial into truth. If to love oneself is to heal oneself, those who are sick do not love themselves. Therefore, they are asking for the love that would heal them, but which they are denying to themselves. If they knew the truth about themselves, they could not be sick.
Wow, would you please read that sentence again? This is a Course in Miracles metaphysics that's amazingly resolute. Please.
Yeah. If they knew the truth about themselves, they could not be sick. The task of the miracle workers thus becomes to deny the denial of truth. The sick must heal themselves, for the truth is in them. It having obscured it, the light in another mind must shine into theirs, because that light is theirs.
Wow, did he read that right? Is this the fine print of your spiritual journey? Albert, read that last sentence again.
Yet having obscured it, the light in another mind must shine into theirs, because that light is theirs.
Yes. You are so deep on your dive. It's black every direction. You're helpless. Unless you follow, unless you allow the light of your training to follow those bubbles, you will continue to swim in the wrong direction. Unless you allow the Holy Spirit to start to answer the questions that you have, unless you find this light that is in your mind, the Holy Spirit is in your mind. It's a part of your mind that's still connected to the light, always. And that's what we're doing with A Course in Miracles, day by day, learning to trust that training. This you must do. Good, good, good. Okay, let's get to it. Turn to page 464. Well, really, 463 is where it starts.
In the text.
In the text. Thank you, Albert. 463. And Tim, you're up to bat. I got your mute. Would you read the last sentence of paragraph 7 and then launch into paragraph 8 for us?
This is a course in cause and not effect. Consider carefully your answer to the last question you've left unanswered still, and let your reason tell you that it must be answered and is answered in the other three.
And Tim, what is that last question that he's talking about?
And do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth?
And so that word want, do I want, that's desire. Do you really want the truth? Well, if you want to be back in control and not be helpless and have no enemies and be back in the realm of no sin, then you do want to go back to the truth. That's why he says your raw desire to be free, if you really follow it, the only way is back to love, back to God.
And because you are a child of God and an extension of a creator and a creator yourself, your thoughts are tremendously powerful. And what you want becomes what you experience.
Yeah. You are of love, so love is it. Good. Please continue.
And then it will be clear to you that as you look at the effects of sin in any form, all you need to do is simply ask yourself, is this what I would see? Do I want this?
You got it. Key, do I desire this? That's why the workbook is so, you know, really the course talks about the ego a lot. I mean, really, this is a book about the ego mostly. It's showing you what you're doing so that when this question comes up, is this what I would want? Would I see this? Do I want this? Do I desire this? As a creator, is this what I want to come and grow? Is this how I want to exist as a creator? You see, because in a holy instant, you realize you're free. You realize, A, you're not a body. B, you are free. And C, you're actually still as God created you, leaving you completely powerful and free. In that moment, hopefully, you say, you look around the world, and you say, wait a minute, we got Putin and Russia, and we've got deadly viruses, and we've got mask restrictions, and we've got all manner of chaos and difficulties just waiting. Is this what I want to be, the only truth and to be true? And that paragraph we just read said that unless you think there is another way, it's useless. You won't pursue a freedom that's beyond the body if you only truly believe in the body existence and what you already know. You, diver, who've been swimming the wrong way for so long. So that's why you need a miracle. That's why you actually need to allow another mind, the light in another mind, to replace small YOU, the one in the mirror, the ego mind, for even just a moment. You really need to find a way to allow, to trust this other mind. What is the other mind? The Holy Spirit comes in the words of human forms and, you know, book and Course in Miracles and all. But you end up with a feeling, see? Yes, they're words and all that, but you end up with a feeling of reconnecting to hope. This is what the holy instant feels like. That's why I call it a new emotion. A light's on you, you separated one you. But this is the effect of enlightenment. Lightness of being becomes your guide. Now peace becomes real because you're actually feeling more peaceful, even though you're going through a divorce or sciatica or your loved ones are dying and all the rest of the world, like... If Barbara Crum on the other day, she interrupted me when I was going through this, and she said, yeah, she says her son disappeared for weeks, or disappeared. Was he kidnapped? Did he go off the edge of the road? Did he die? They were searching for him. I think it was for a whole year. She had to go back to work because she was running out of money, and she's just worried about her son. What happened to my boy? But she forgot for a few moments when she was driving, after all these being so tired of worrying like only a mother can worry. She forgot just for a few moments, somehow the light came back into her life and to her mind. A lightness of being in such a contrast of dark. And she saw through everything. She saw through her life and her boy's life, and she knew there's something else going on here. Just an instant. It carried her through. It was what? That was another mind, see? It interrupted her ego mind and brought her back to being free. This happens. These holy instants happen. Okay. So we've laid it out pretty clear that the devotion is up to you. Take some courage to be willing to decide to go the opposite way, even if it's only on your cushion and during your meditation. Fine. Doesn't matter. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to walk on water and become a saint and go start an orphanage. So this is not important. You choose the atonement for yourself in an instant, and it will be an instant. It will not be minutes and hours. And so the truth is not experienced in time. You can become more artful in the way of living, and you become peaceful and kind and generous and compassionate, and you can teach peace to others, so forth, so forth. But the truth is not experienced in time. You must bring this awareness to yourself and own it fully for one instant. It is all that is required. And for many of you, you've already had that instant, and it will carry you through. But you don't trust it. That's okay. Now let's get the next paragraph. Okay, Deborah, I got you mute. Give us paragraph.
What page are we on again? What page?
We're on page 464 now. We turn the page.
And we're doing paragraph 9, is that right?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is your one decision. This is the condition for what occurs. It is irrelevant to how it happens, but not to why. You have control of this. And if you choose to see a world without an enemy in which you are not helpless, the means to see it will be given you.
Deborah, would you reread that last sentence again? It's so loaded.
And if you choose to see a world without an enemy in which you are not helpless, the means to see it will be given you. So beautiful.
And then now that we've all caught up with you, read the same sentence again.
And if you choose to see a world without an enemy in which you are not helpless, the means to see it will be given you.
Because it's what you want.
You see the circle? You see how throughout the course it says, like on page 90, you know, it says, I want peace and I will let the Holy Spirit choose peace for me as I choose peace. Somehow, by letting the Holy Spirit choose peace, I get to choose. What? It's so entangled because it's one mind. There are several sentences that are like this that seem to point you right back to yourself. We read another one earlier. It says that you allow the light of the Holy Spirit into your mind because it is your light. But I thought it was another mind. You just told me it was another mind. But yeah, then you say that mind's bringing light that is mine. Yeah. So it's weird to put it in words, to take something that is nonlinear and put it in linear words. But you get it. Your devotion to see the truth that you've been denying allows you to now see, to take a journey beyond words. It invites you to take a journey beyond words, and you do it with a feeling, not with an analysis, right? It's brilliant. This book is so freaking brilliant. These things are all over it. And here's one tonight. Deborah was just reading. It says, and if you choose to see a world without an enemy, that takes release of judgment. That takes release of your understanding of ills and pains and hardships. And you do understand those. Each of us could go on and on about the hard things in our lives or that happened to others. We could, right? If you take a moment and be able to see the same world, not some beatific world that nothing goes wrong and all the whales are saved. No. The same world. The exact same world where one country is invading another and killing hundreds and thousands of people on the way. That world. That's the one. That's the one. Without an enemy. What? Yeah. Watch now. Watch now what he does. And if you choose to see a world without an enemy in which you are not helpless, certainly he's talking not about your body. Your body is helpless. You who are in the mirror are helpless. You're getting older and you're getting tired and you're getting sick as you go, and eventually you'll suffer a bit, take a pill and suffer some more, and then die. This, you know, little prediction for you there, for all of us. Jesus died. Wasn't pretty at the end. Yeah. A lot of these great sages die of cancer and everything else. Narsagadatta. Ramana Maharshi choking on throat cancer. So you really, it would behoove you well to take this sentence deep into meditation and be able to see the same world with choking and difficult and without an enemy and where you're not helpless. You certainly are not going to be identifying with your body. You know in the workbook it's coming. If you've done your workbook lessons once and you know you spent 20 days nonstop, morning and evening, practicing the same sentence over and over. You said it 750 times if you tried
not
to follow. Say it, Wendy. I'm not a body. I am free, for I'm still as God created me. And then you uttered some other words, and then you said it again. I'm not a body. I am free, for I'm still as God created to me. And you said it 15 times a day. It's the most often repeated phrase in the whole book and in your practice. Because it states in simplicity, just for you to someday stumble on it and say, wow, I think it's true. Just for an instant is all it takes. You might get many of those instances. I hope you do. But when they do, it's going to come around a personal devotion that sounds like sentence 4 in paragraph 9. Choosing to see a world, the same world with all its trouble, without an enemy. In which you're not helpless. See, that's what the real world is. In this book, the phrase, the real world, shows up. And at a lower level, you know, you could put pretty thoughts and words around it, and that's okay. But at the highest level, it's what this sentence is saying. The same troublesome world, but you don't see it as you having an enemy here and you being helpless. Even though obviously the body is an enemy itself, an enemy to itself. It has enemies and it's enemies to others. And the body is definitely helpless. It's a journey beyond words you take with your awakening, with your holy instant, back to your freedom. It's a beautiful, beautiful journey. And it happens in an instant. It doesn't take time and it doesn't take effort. It doesn't take effort. That's why he finishes the sentence. The means to see this amazing translation of the world, the real world, the means to see it will be given you. How? Did I miss something, Jesus? How will the means to reinterpret the world of suffering to not suffering be given me? Anybody? Tim, tell me.
Not your problem. Make the decision that you want to see differently, and it will happen. The Holy Spirit will take care of the stuff behind the curtain or under the horizon or whatever you want to label it. Not your problem. Just make the decision. You've been promised it'll happen. You don't have to believe it or take it on faith. Try it. Let me know what you experience.
Yep. Yep. Not your problem to actually figure something out, but simply to take on the full devotion of those three answered questions and then the fourth unanswered question. Do you think that you really, really want to be free? That's, you know. Yeah, I do want to be free. But the last unanswered question is, are you willing to take the step to truth? And the step of truth may be that you choose to see a world, this world, okay, without an enemy, in which you are not helpless. I hope you feel some freedom around those words. It's better when Deborah reads it. Deborah, would you read for us again, paragraph 9, sentence 4?
And if you choose to see a world without an enemy in which you are not helpless, the means to see it will be given you.
I like how simple that sounds. There's a whole section called The Simplicity of Salvation. Yeah. Let's get some more support. Don, I got your mute. Would you read for us the next paragraph, paragraph 10?
Why is the final question so important? Reason will tell you why. It is the same as are the other three, except in time. The others are decisions that can be made and then unmade and made again. But the truth is constant and implies a state where vacillations are impossible. You can desire a world you rule that rules you not and change your mind. You can desire to exchange your helplessness for power and lose this same desire as a little glint of sin attracts you. And you can want to see a sinless world and let an enemy tempt you to use the body's eyes and change what you desire.
Well, I just realized we ran out of time. So we're going to pick that paragraph up and unpack it next week. And it is a wonderful busting of the ego. And also to show you what it means to be devoted to a spiritual awareness of being. It's quite the contrast. But yeah, rockin' section. And let's do that paragraph next week. Thank you, everybody, for studying A Course in Miracles with me. This is extremely important work. You are all warriors for the truth. You are all abandoning this addiction of the ego and returning to the hope and freedom that is contagious to all the minds. You are hopefully getting the courage to follow those bubbles, even though they're going past your feet. And you follow them to the light, and you will return to easy breathing, and you will laugh at your little adventure into separation. Let's do it together. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Thank you
so much.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Wendy. Good night, Kenny. Say good night to BJ for me.